I'm going to read the scripture for tonight. It's found in John chapter 3, if you guys want to read along. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with every born of the Spirit." And then in Acts 2, it says, when the people heard this,
Acts 2:37.
All right. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and all the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Amen.
All right. Can you guys hear me? This thing, I've never used one of these before. It's weird. It feels really awkward. I need to pray. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, that you are here. I know that you are here, God. I know that you've been talking to me for the last 2 weeks about what to share here, and Lord, I'm going to need you to be here to talk to these people. I can't do this on my own. Lord, nothing that has any supernatural or eternal significance can come from me anyways. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come here, God, please. Lord, I beg you that you would be here now and that you would talk. Lord, that you would speak in a way that only you can individually to these people that are individual to their circumstances, to their lives. God, reveal yourself, Lord. We seek you tonight. I seek you. We seek you. We need you tonight, God. God, this isn't just another prayer and praise night. This isn't just something we do every month. God, this is real. This is necessary. We need you, God. This isn't because it's February 10th. It's not because we're supposed to do this, Lord. We need you, God. Get it through our thick skulls that we need you, God. Wake us up, Father. Forgive us, God, of being religious. God, forgive us of doing things just because it's we're supposed to do. God, because that's not what you've called us to do. Lord, help us to follow you because we love you, because we need you. Help us have right priorities in our hearts and in our minds. Lord, help us to wake up tonight. We pray this in your name. Amen. How's everybody doing? Eh? It's kind of like a really weak response. You can, He's blessed. Everybody else is, How's Croc Center doing? Yeah? DeKalb?
Great.
Yeah? Hammond Munster? Awesome, yeah, nice. Lavita, how are you guys doing?
Yeah.
All right. I'm realizing at the beginning of this is going to be awkward because I'm going to have to do this. So unless you guys all want to come sit right here in the front, in the middle, which you don't need to do, so I'll do my best to not ignore half the people tonight. Josue, where's Josue at? See, I'm like, Josue, where you at? He was telling me before, I know he doesn't care. Josue was telling me before the service that, or before Prayer and Praise Night started, that that he was a little nervous about giving his testimony. And I was like, I'm nervous. You kidding me? Not because he was going to share, but I was like, no, for real, I'm nervous. I'm nervous for me, for preaching tonight. He's like, really? And I'm like, yeah. I don't know how it is for Captain or Major. There are people who preach way more about the Bible than I do. I feel extremely humble and not worthy to do this, to be completely honest. But every time I preach, I always get nervous. Every time, it has never not been there. And I've been doing this. I mean, it's not like I've been doing this for a long time. Amazing. But I gave my first sermon when I was in college, which was, I don't know, 10 years ago. And I know, it's weird. Holy crap, I'm an old man. Sam and I were on the way over here. We were talking, and I don't even remember how it came up, and he was like, he was talking about how old he feels, right, at Prayer and Praise Night, which, how old are you, Sam? 19. He's laughing at you. He's like, come on, you kidding me, 19 years old? Shoot. But he was saying how old he feels, and like the first time he came, he met someone who was, his name is Dietrich, a lot of you guys know him, he was, I don't know, 17, and he felt like that was super old, 17, and he's like, there's no telling how old they think you are, Nate. Just true, because I'm a lot older than 17. But I've been giving sermons since I was, in college, and I still get nervous, and this one's no exception. Hey, Antonio. What's up, man? I didn't see you sneak in. And the reason is tonight, I really do feel like God has been speaking to me over the last 2 weeks about a couple different things. And I don't know if pastors here in the room, if you've ever had this before, but there are times where you have to preach, it's time to preach, and you're like, I know that God wants me to speak on John chapter 4. I'm just going to talk on John chapter 4, boom, 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 no big deal. But there are some times, and that's happened, but there are some times when you're like, God, what do you want me to share? Because I have no idea. And it's not for a matter of procrastination. It's not because you haven't been thinking about it, but it's because you're waiting to hear from the Lord. 2 days ago, we went to go see, a group of us went to go see this guy named Francis Chan speak at Moody. Moody Bible Institute is this college downtown. And Francis Chan, how many of you guys have ever heard that guy's name before? No big deal if you haven't. He's an author. He's written like a few books that have sold like a billion copies. No big deal. And he speaks around the world. And he's just a really, really awesome guy. He started a church in San Francisco. and he gets up to speak in front of 4,000 people. He's done this, I don't know how many times, more times than I've probably eaten breakfast. And he's up there, and he's admitting, he's like, God, I need you to help me to sift through what you want me to say. And he's been doing this for however long. And it's just because of the simple truth that sometimes God just, he needs to break through in a way that only he can, And he's been speaking to me. He's been giving me different things, coming at me from different angles and different events and different times. And I'm going to pray. All I'm going to do is I'm going to open the word, and we're going to talk about a few things that God's been giving me to speak tonight. And then I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to do the rest. Because I can't do anything. I'm just a dude. And if you didn't see by that cable mistake, sometimes I make huge mistakes. So let's just pray one more time, and then we're gonna get started. Father, you are good. Lord, you are here. Your word says that your word will not return to you void. And so I just pray that you'd open hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so if I had to ask you guys what I'm going to talk about is, what does it mean to be a Christian? I know that sounds like a really lame, cheesy title, but that's honestly what God has been speaking to me about. So I'm putting you all on the spot. If I asked you, what does it mean to be a Christian, what would you say? Just yell it out. Don't even have to stand up or raise your hand. Tell me something that defines a Christian. Whoa, what? Worshiping and knowing God. Who said that? Christ-like. That's a good one. All right. Praising God. Anybody else? Loving God. Anybody else? Let's keep, shout them out. Huh? To be obedient. Nice. To be humble. Follower of Christ. Okay, good. To be a servant. Yeah. All right. I taught Annie, I almost called you Lily. Sorry, that's her sister. Annie was talking about this Divisional Ministries training day that we did this past Saturday where we had workshops and whatever, and I was teaching a workshop on young adult ministry, and one of the things that I saw, a statistic that I read, was 1 out of 3, this group, Fuller Youth Institute, they did this survey, right, and 1 out of 3 people that they interviewed, they're all college juniors, when they're asked the question, what does it mean to be a Christian? What defines a Christian? 1 out of 3 college juniors, these were youth group kids, kids that went to church consistently every week. 1 out of 3 did not mention Jesus Christ. 1 out of 3, instead of mentioning Jesus, mentioned behaviors. Behaviors, things that you do, things you're supposed to do. In other words, 30% have a behavioralist understanding of what it means to follow Jesus. In other words, they think it's just a bunch of rules. How many of you guys have ever felt that way, or maybe you've met people? You can be honest, there's no judgment here. That it's just a bunch of rules. It's just you do this, you don't do that, you go to church, you do blah, blah, blah. And that's a common perception. 1 out of 3 people think that's what we do. That's who we are. And that couldn't be further from the truth. It couldn't be further from the truth at all. John 3, if you guys pull out your Bibles, I think there should be Bibles in your pews. Just pull out your Bibles, or if you got an iPhone or whatever, pull out that. Just don't play Angry Birds. Or as my nephew likes to call it, Mad Birds. It's true. John chapter 3. John chapter 3 says this. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. I.e., he was important. He wasn't just some dude. He was ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. Okay? He's come at night. For some reason, people say that maybe he came at night because he was afraid to be noticed. Or he came at night because he wanted to have a long conversation with Jesus. If he would have come during the day, there would have been a lot of crowds following Jesus, and there would have been impossible to say anything more than, hey, what's up, Jesus? All right, see ya. You know, it would have been possible because of all the people around him. So he came at night. And he says, verse 3, in reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. The main thing that, I'm going to be breezing through a bunch of scriptures, so I hope, you know, keep your Bibles open. We're going to go through a lot of different ones. But the first thing that sticks out to me in this passage, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. That right there should tell us it's not just about rules. Okay, you can't just do stuff to get yourself into heaven. You can't do things to enter the kingdom. It doesn't work that way. It's being reborn. It's something that God only God can do. Have you guys ever thought about I was listening to a sermon the other, like a week or two ago, about this passage, actually. And have you guys ever thought about, this is going to be maybe a little gross for some people, but have you guys ever thought about what happens when someone gives birth? I know this is weird. Just hear me out. I know this is, you're kind of like, shut up, Nate. I don't want to hear this. Who does all the work? Does the baby do any work? Is like when it comes out, is the doctor like, hey, awesome job, baby. You did so good. You know, you were awesome. Dude, good job. Does that ever happen? No. If you were to tell it to any mother that the baby did all the work, she'd be liable to slap you in the face because she did all the work, right? She's done all the work. All of you should go home tonight and say thank you to your mom for that because she did everything. The point is, it's the same thing. I know it sounds cheesy, but it's the same thing. I mean, in our Christian life, it's not about us. It's not anything that we can do. It's only something that God can do in our life. So if you're expecting, if you're hoping to change, to have a new life, it's not going to be done through doing good deeds and just doing, you know, acting or following the rules. It's not about that. Christianity isn't about a bunch of rules. It's so much more than that. And the only way it can start is if God does something in your life and you're reborn. I know that that phrase, born again Christian, is thrown around a lot, especially in the media. It's thrown around a lot, but it's the truth. It's the only way it happens. It's the only way. So, you know, Jose was talking about improving and being better. The only way that those things can happen in his life, and I would say it has, is because God does it in his life. He changes him. It's not because of him. Does that make sense? A lot of things going on in my mind right now. And I'm asking God to help me to say the right things. How many of you guys have heard this stuff before? How many, be honest, how many of this is not new? This is just kind of like, yep, been there, done that. How many for you guys this is totally new? Nobody. So everybody's heard this before. Good. That's good. Because that means that your churches are doing your job, doing their job. All right, next thing, Acts. Let's go to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. At this point in Scripture, the Holy Spirit falls. This is during Pentecost. It's a feast. And the Holy Spirit falls on a group of people, and for whatever reason, they start speaking in tongues. They start speaking languages they'd never learned before. And rightfully so, everyone that's watching it is like, what in the world is going on? This is strange. I've never seen this before. Will you guys please, someone, explain this? So Peter gets up, this guy, he's the pillar of the church, right? He gets up, he starts talking, and he explains what's going on. And he explains who Jesus was, that he came, he died, he rose again, and that he sent his Holy Spirit to his church. And at the end, this is what Sam read, verse 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." There are three things that has to happen. If you call yourself a Christian, this is what's got to happen. You have to repent. If you want to follow after Jesus, it's the only way. Repentance. The best way I've heard it described is... was in the realm of military. You know, a group of military men, you think about them marching, and then their commanding officer at one point would yell, "Repent!" And they would turn, and they would go the other way. And that's how that works. That's repentance. It's turning around. It literally, the Greek word actually, it means to change your mind, to think differently afterwards. If you want to be a Christian, you have to repent from sin. This is not something that is done once, this is done every day. This is done all the time. All right. So the other day, like I said, I mentioned we went to go see this guy named Francis Chan. And he spoke, and I'd seen him speak before. He spoke at this youth workers convention. And it was 2008 was the first time I went to this national youth workers convention. Really good, done by a really great group of people. And he spoke, and he shared more or less the same sermon he shared 2 days ago. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like he was trying to just give something canned, or he didn't prepare it and think it through or anything like that. His message was this: when he reads the Bible and he reads things about the church and he reads things about who God is and what he's called us to do and who he's called us to be, and when he looks at his life and he looks at the people around him and himself, there's this tension. He sees what the Bible says, and then he sees the things around him, and it doesn't add up. It's not making sense. People aren't living out what Scripture's called us to. Would anybody agree with that? Anybody feel that way? Yeah? Okay. I'm not the only, good. And he preached that same, he said that 2 years ago, or 4 years ago, 2008. And I have to be honest, when he preached that, that messed me up. I was there to go and learn more about youth ministry. You know, like, I want to do my job better. I want to hear what this guy has to say, what other people have to say. He said, when I look at the Bible and when I see the church doing around them, it's two completely different things. And that messed me up. I left there just, I couldn't even think straight. Because that's not right. We're called to be the people of God. We're called to be the church. And this, it's more than words. It's this is where I need to rely on the Holy Spirit to speak to you guys in a way that only He can. Open to James 4. This is part of what I'm talking about. James chapter 4. And I'm speaking to myself. More than anyone. James chapter 4, verse 4. These are some strong words. You adulterous people. Adulterous people. Everybody knows what adultery is, right? Don't need to explain that. You adulterous people. Yeah. You adulterous people. Don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Ooh. Those are strong words. Don't you know that friendship? Don't you know? Do you know friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Do you know that? Do you live like that? Do you live like that? Friendship with the world. Friendship. Not like best friends, but like just kind of like friends. We're just hanging out. We're just chilling. Hatred towards God. That's what that is. And I'm sorry. I don't mean to be preachy. But get this. This is what Jesus, Jesus did that. There are times in the Bible, you look at John chapter 6, Jesus, he fed, you know, the story of the 5,000. People know the story of the 5,000 where the fishes and the loaves, whatever, he did his miracle. And the people went after him. They tried to find more. They saw him on the other side of the lake. And Jesus was like, you're not here for me. You're here for my food or whatever. And then he starts speaking to them, who he really was. He was telling him who he was, what he came to do. And at the end of what he said and what he said about himself, the disciples, these weren't people that didn't know him. These are people who had committed to follow him. The disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can follow this? And a lot of people left. That's who Jesus was. He actually said, oh, are you offended by what I said? That's who Jesus was. Don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? That is hard stuff. Hatred towards God. We can't be complacent, guys. We can't. And I'm talking to myself more than anyone. 1 John chapter 2. Fifth, 2:15 through 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. The Christian life is not easy. I remember hearing a story, or for those of you guys who are at office councils, hopefully you'll help me, because I'll probably butcher this. There is a guy, his name is Drew Dick. He wrote this book called Generation X Christian. Really, really, really good book. If you don't have it, I would recommend it. It's a really good read. It's about young adult ministry, why people are leaving, and how to try to get them to come back. And he was talking about a group of Christians. He classifies six different types of Christians that leave the faith. And one of them are this group he likes to call drifters, people who came to church, they were never rooted, and they just slowly leave. They just, one day, that you just wake up and they're gone. It's not like they didn't make a stand. It wasn't like people said, you know what, I'm an atheist now. I believe that, or I find this wrong with Christianity. Or it wasn't that they were abused or they were hurt. No, it's just they just drifted. They were kind of there. I totally just forgot where I was going with that. I'm jogging my mind. Oh, and one of the reasons why he said that was because they were never presented with the hard demands of the gospel. They were never presented with the things that are difficult. This is the way they are. And so they leave. And he described a story about this time he went to a youth convention or a youth outing or whatever to a barn. You remember that? They went to a barn. And they had like tons of fun. There were, you know, games and marshmallows and stuff. And it came time for the gospel presentation, the gospel pitch. You always got to have marshmallows. Always. And it came time for the gospel presentation. And he said, who wants to receive Jesus? You know, it's not going to be hard. No one will ever leave you. It's going to be easy. All you have to do is just say this prayer. That's totally wrong. That's not even close to what Jesus said about himself at all. At all. Jesus says we're going to be persecuted. You guys know that? Yeah. Open to Matthew. Chapter 5. Sorry, Matthew 5, verses 11 through 12. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. Not blessed are you if, but blessed are you when. It's inevitable. It's what's going to happen. The Greek word for persecute, I found this, I was like, are you kidding me? This is actually what this means? Because persecute, you know, doesn't sound, I mean, it sounds bad, but it doesn't sound this bad. Persecute means to aggressively chase like a hunter. Like a hunter pursuing a catch. To hunt down. It means to pursue with all haste. So, backing up, it says, blessed are you when people insult you, when they aggressively chase like a hunter pursuing a catch, and falsely say all kinds of things about you. This is what we're doing. This is what we've asked to do. This is what we've signed up to do if we're following Jesus. The last thing that I want to do is just kind of talk about a challenge that Francis and I was. I talked about this earlier, just about how he would read the Bible. He would read what it says. And he would look around at the world around him, and it just wouldn't add up. It wouldn't make sense. I mean, Do we really see, like it says in Acts chapter 2? If you guys want to open up to that, Acts 2, 42. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Does this describe you and your core? Does this describe your church? I don't see it very often. I'm just being honest and being real. When I look at the Bible, when I look around, it doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. Or in Acts chapter 3, I love this story. If you just look over, just, you know, like a page over or something. Peter and John, they're going to the temple. And on their way, they find this crippled beggar. How many of you guys have ever seen a beggar in Chicago? Yeah? I've never seen what happens in the story happen before. But this is what they do. They go up to this beggar, and the beggar asks, hey, do you have any money? And they say, no, we don't. But instead of that, they heal this guy. They heal this guy. How many of you guys have ever seen that in real life? No one, right? But I'm willing to bet the reason why it doesn't happen isn't because this isn't true. I'm willing to bet it's because we have a lack of faith and we're not following. We have a lack of faith. You guys know that Jesus said, you will do greater things than me. Jesus said that. He was talking about miracles. This is what it means to follow Jesus. It's not just about, hey, God, I'm going to ask for you in my heart. And all those things are great, and I'm not pointing fingers at you. I know you do great things at La Vita. I'm not, because that's a beginning point, but it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. So my challenge, this is a really basic, maybe some of you guys are cynical right now and you're like, Nate, I wish you would have shut up like 20 minutes ago. But this is for real. Spend time alone reading this book. Read it by yourself, for yourself. And do what it says. How many of you guys remember Michael Collins? He was our youth council speaker. Yeah, it's great. You guys remember him. He was awesome. He came 2 years ago. And I remember him, he shared his testimony once. And with this, I'm going to close. Sam and Alfonso, if you guys would go up and just start playing Beautiful Things, it would be great. He gave his testimony. He said, when I first became a Christian, by the way, he became a Christian because Jehovah's Witnesses tried to go to his door and teach to him. And he started reading the Bible for himself. So then he told them what the Bible actually said. And that's how he got saved. Anyways, so he was reading the Bible for himself, and he said, all I did, I didn't have a church, I didn't have a pastor, all I did, I read the Bible, and I did what it said. It said, go feed the poor, I went and fed the poor. That's what he did, and that, you guys, that's not like rocket science, that's not special, that's not like something reserved for just special Christians. That's Christianity, take it or leave it, that's it. There is no other form. That's all there is. Read it and do what it says. We like to complicate things. Humans love to make things more difficult than they have to be. And it's not that hard. Read it and do what it says. I've just talked for, I don't even know how long, and it's I hope it's made sense in some way. And, you know, I'm going to trust that God has spoken to you, and I didn't mean to really just barf a bunch of stuff out, you know. I didn't mean to just say a bunch of things about like everything I believe or something like that. But this is, what does it mean to be a Christian? It means those things. So I just want to give you guys time to pray. I know I'm sure you're tired. It has been a long drive in the snow. 3 inches of snow. But it's, no, whatever, we're not going to talk about that. But let's seek the Lord. I mean, are we serious about this or not? Let's just pray, and then we're gonna sing the song, and then we'll be done. Let's pray. If you'd like to pray, you can come to the altar. It's always open, and feel free to respond as God leads you to. God, I just I come before you, and Lord, I pray that you would move in a way that only you can. Lord, forgive me for being self-righteous or for being selfish or for being concerned about myself over anything else, God, instead of being concerned about you. I just pray, Lord, that tonight that something would stick, and it doesn't have to be because of me. It's never about me, Lord. I pray that your Spirit would just speak, and I pray that tonight there would be something that sticks with someone, and there would be a difference in someone's life tonight, God. Just thank you for who you are, and I just pray that you would help us to live the life you call us to live. To not make this a matter of talk, God, but to make it a matter of doing. This is what we do. This is who we are. So I just pray all these things in your name. Amen. Feel free to respond as God leads you to respond.